We're going to talk about angels today. And I said this when we opened up, but if you didn't grab an outline, there's some in the foyer that you could grab. And it's just a page and a half, you know, front and back. But I printed out the verses on that. And I have 26 pages of verses that are represented on that page and a half. And so y'all went, oh my God. I don't think, Chiefs don't play till like 3:15. Right? So some would say some weeks they don't play at all. Anyway, I've decided to do this. We've been teaching this class on the Holy Spirit, and we're talking a lot about prayer and the Spirit's involvement in prayer, and you just can't look into prayer and intercession and those kinds of things and eliminate angels. I mean, it's all over the place. And so I thought, let's see if we can't catch each other up a little bit on just what the Bible has to say about angels. Because how many of you know there are more angels than there are demons? Right? Because a third of them got kicked out, so there's two-thirds of them left, so it's like twice as many. But how many of you know people talk about demons about 15 times more than they do angels? That's called human nature. It's called some other things too, but I won't go there. But what I want to do is look at what the Bible says. And I have to be totally candid with you. I had two verses I was going to speak on. Dos. And when I got into it, I said, nah, let's just go. So I'm not going to read every bit of this stuff, but I want to give you context of every passage. So we're going to look at angels, what they do, what their duties are, how they show up in the Old Testament, and how they show up in the New Testament. And so you may not know this, but the Bible says that angels were present at creation. I'm going to quote Job 38, first seven verses, but I'm only going to read verse 7. I guess I'll read verse 5. He said, who set the measurements, since you know everything? Or who stretched the line on it? Or what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? So the Lord's kind of given Job a little thing on here. You weren't there when I did all this, so why do you act like you know everything? And he's saying here that the sons of God, and this is reference to angels, when they were there and we were doing all this and, you know, the Holy Spirit was brooding over the waters, where were you? So the angels were there at creation. They weren't part of the creative force, but they were there at creation. And they are created beings. Psalm 33:6 says, by the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth, all their host. So every other being in heaven, which would include angels. Psalm 148, verse 2 says, praise him, all his angels. Praise him, all his host. Praise him, sun and moon and stars of light in the highest heavens and the waters that are above the heavens. We have to stop and talk about that someday. About the waters that are above the heavens. Whoa. People say, that's too deep. Well, it's so deep that it's above. And we'll come back to that. I don't have time today. But if you haven't ever seen that before, that's an interesting discussion. The waters that are above the heaven, let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded and they were created. So angels were commanded to be created and they came into being. I love this verse in Colossians 1, verse 16 and 17. We refer to it fairly often. For by him, Jesus, all things were created, both in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible. Because some people will argue that, well, you can see angels. And some people say, no, they're spirits. And the answer to that is yes. Because sometimes people do see angels, and other times you don't. You may see angelic involvement. It's like you don't see the wind, but you see the leaves on the tree move. Right? It's that kind of a thing. But he made all of them, things in the heavens and on the earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Jesus made the angels. And sometimes they're visible, sometimes they're invisible. We're talking about this today. I almost interrupted the worship. I just didn't want to mess up the flow there. But this has been some time ago. We were in another building, and I mentioned it to Scott, and he'd had another similar experience in the same time frame. And we were three of us standing in the back of the building by the sound booth. That's where the sound booth was. And I knew the building pretty good and been in there a bunch. And I knew that where we were standing, there were no vents in the floor or the wall or the ceiling. No return air, nothing. And we're singing the last song. I don't remember what it was, but it's one of those where you know, oh, this is the last song. And we're standing there, and all of a sudden, it's like an oscillating fan, this cool breeze. And you could, I'm in the middle, and the other two guys just kind of go like this, so now I'm a sandwich. And these guys, and I could feel what they're doing. I said, guys, no need to look. There aren't any vents. And we just stood there for the whole song, and as long as the song was praying, this cool breeze, back and forth. Back and forth. And of course, we've been praying for the presence of the Lord and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But you just, it was one of those indescribably delicious moments. You know, we're just, it's an encounter with the love of God. And that's what we talked about yesterday in the prayer room, was just experiencing the love of God. Kurt said he got up this morning and was reading 1 Corinthians 13, which is the love chapter, you know, in the Bible, if you want to call it that. Michael came up and said, I think people need to experience the love of God today. So part of how people experience the love of God is through the ministry of angels. Are we okay with that? Well, it really doesn't make a difference if you are or not, because it's in the book. But the Lord uses angels sometimes to quicken, to alert us, and I'll go through a whole list of things, but he wants us to know we're not alone. Because how many times have you looked in your Bible and it said, don't fear, don't be afraid? Why does he say that? Because people walk around half afraid all the time. That's why. And you can't fully experience the love of God if you're afraid, because your time is spent and your energy is spent and your focus is spent on fear. And so that day, when I had that experience, Scott said the experience he had was very similar, and all they could do is get on their knees for about 20 minutes. Mine didn't. I should have had a longer song, I guess, but we didn't. But sometimes you just have those inexplicable moments with the Lord where, wow, that's like different. That is like wonderful, and in addition to, you know, it's not that normal, wonderful time when you spend in the presence of the Lord, but sometimes it's just like, shh, your elevator went to a floor you never went to before. And sometimes that's an encounter with an angel. Why am I saying that? Because if we're praying that way, and we declare that we believe all the things that we declare about God are true, then he doesn't leave angelic intervention out. And I think he would really appreciate us not leaving it out either. So everything that was made, Jesus made it. That includes angels. So we looked not too long ago at some section in Thessalonians where people were bowing down and worshiping angels. Because God's too busy and he didn't have room for you, so you got to go to an angel so the angel can contact God for you. That was the heresy that they were in. Well, you don't ever worship an angel. Because at the end of it, we're the boss. We judge them. Right? That's really the truth. So, and besides that, that's idolatry on top of that. So, he made them like he made everything else, and therefore his purpose. So we're going to look at what some of what his purposes are. Angels aren't perfect. Isn't that a great thing? Maybe it's not as great as I thought. I think it's wonderful that divine beings still don't all the time do everything perfectly right. Now, we know some of them didn't because they lost their place, got kicked out. But this is Job chapter 4, verse 17 says, "Can mankind be just before God? Can a man be pure or righteous before his maker? He, the Lord, puts no trust even in his servants, and against his angels he charges error." In other words, they don't always do everything right. Now, this is a little silly, but you ever watch It's a Wonderful Life? Clarence! The angel didn't always do everything just right. Now, that's kind of silly. But here it says that the Lord sees what angels do and charges them with error. In other words, you got done what I wanted you to get done, but that's not exactly how I wanted you to get it done. That's what he said. And he said, if that's true of angels who are resident with him, give yourself a break sometimes and recognize that he's not demanding perfection out of you. Pretty cool, actually. Matthew chapter 24, verse 32. The angels don't know everything. They are not omniscient. And this is the parable of the fig tree. It says, "Now learn the parable from the fig tree when its branch has already become tender and puts forth its leaves, and you should know that summer is near. So you too, when you shall see all these things, recognize that he is near right at the door." So he's talking about second coming. "Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words won't pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone." They live with God, and God's omniscient, but they aren't. And so there's so many isms over time that have involved angelic worship and using angels as an intermediary to get to God. But there's one intermediary between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. So it's never right to pray to an angel. Never. Like, not. They don't know everything. Well, that's kind of cool because there's a lot of things they do know, because it says, not even the angels know. So they're cut in on some stuff. And they do know some things about the plans of the Lord. They don't know when he's coming back. They don't know everything. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. "As to the salvation, the prophets who prophesied of the grace that would come to you made careful searches and inquiries, seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ within them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories to follow. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, in these things, which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which the angels long to look." You know more about the plan for the ages than angels do. That's pretty cool, isn't it? I mean, walk out of here and say, "Well, I don't know if I know everything, but I got those angels whipped, man." Because what he's saying is the death, burial, resurrection, and ascension only makes sense if you're human. Right? And they aren't. And consequently, they long to look into it. They want to know what's the big deal here? And they just don't know. All angels are considered to be ministers. But not all ministers are angels. Some of you have had pastors like that, right? Oh, anyway, I'll slow down next time so you get it. Hebrews chapter 1. "And when he began," and when he again began bringing the firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all the angels of God worship him." So angels are worshipers of God. "And let of the angels," he says, "who makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire." So angels are winds, which would be spirits, and flames of fire. But there's a lot of stuff, if you go through the Old Testament, fire is involved in a lot of stuff that angels are involved in. But they are ministers, it says. They're here to take care of us, to minister to us, to add to us. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 13. But to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Are they not all ministering spirits, angels, are they not all ministering spirits sent out to render service for the sake of those who will inherit salvation? So, if you have the Spirit of God in you, angels are dispatched, released, sent out to do for you what the Lord sees you need done for you. I prayed this over somebody last week. It's kind of cool. I forget how it came out, but I find myself doing this every once in a while. Lord, Jesus spent 40 days in the wilderness, and then the enemy left. And it said, and the angels of God came and ministered to him. Now, I don't know what they have to offer him, but if it's good enough for him, cut me in on some of that. Lord, come and release ministering spirits, angels, to do for us what they did for Jesus. When you don't know what to pray, that's a pretty good thing to pray. And it's not just, well, now you got to arm wrestle God to talk him into doing it. No, he releases, he dispenses, he disperses angels to help us, those of us who are inheriting salvation. So that's what they do. And are they not all ministering spirits? Yes. Are they not all spirits? Yes. Do they not all minister? Yes. Well, because they're spirits, does that mean you can't see them? Sometimes. I'll never forget, I was teaching a fourth, fifth, and sixth grade class of girls. And they were just about as much excited about it as I was. Anyway, and I was teaching from Acts chapter 8, and somebody said something about, Pastor John, when you were praying, I saw these three angels. And I thought, good for you, sweetheart. You know. And I said, that's really cool, thanks. And then another girl looked at me, she said, you mean you don't see him? And I said, well, I usually see what's there. You know, you figure this out. And they said, oh, they kind of went, oh. And all three of them jumped up and laid hands on me so that I would be able to see angels. So I said, Lord, thank you for these three little angels who are praying for me today. Now, I normally don't see angels. I don't. But I know lots of people do. I can't tell you how many times people have said, you had these huge angels around you today while you were speaking. And I said, good. I mean, I sense the presence of the Lord. But, I mean, and you can see, and they described these things, and they followed you, and you went to this side and everything. But they didn't follow you when you went to that side, so the bad guys must sit over here. I'm just kidding. Kind of. But it said the angels came and ministered to Jesus. Think about that for a minute. Now, he was hungry because he hadn't eaten for 40 days, and he'd been... to use our terminology, he had been under attack. You ever use that terminology? I know I'm under attack. Well, get the attack out from under you, you know. Anyway, I'll slow down. But he'd been under attack for 40 days. So just not eating for 40 days is a pretty big deal. You know, I mean, that'll wear you out and weaken you. And then he's got the enemy. I mean, just not like demons and stuff. He's got like the devil, the only one that there is, the one guy, on him for 40 days and nights. So whatever he needed pretty bad. And whatever they had was what he needed. So angels must carry a pretty good first aid kit. You know? Are you following me? They did this. And it never says that, well, then Jesus took a nap. It doesn't say any of that thing. Pretty much he gets up and goes out and heals the multitudes. You know, I mean, that's pretty much what happens. Probably a gap there in the story a little bit. But the fact that Jesus, and it doesn't say that he asked for it, they just came. Why? Because the Lord sent them. Because He knew it was time for Jesus to get some relief from that. So, angels also protect us. Daniel chapter 6, verse 22. My God, now this is Daniel in the lion's den, sent his angel and shut the lion's mouth, and they have not harmed me, inasmuch as I was found innocent before him, and also before you, O king, I have committed no crime. Daniel spent an evening petting the lions, you know, combing out their manes, whatever he was doing, because they couldn't eat him. The angels came and shut the mouth. So angels muzzle the enemy. Huh? Wouldn't you like to have that at your disposal? Now, I don't remember any other time where Daniel said, hey, I'll take care of those lions. No, he never volunteered to get in there again, but when he was in there for what the enemy expected to be the last time, he just tamed the lions. And I thought, Lord, release enemy muzzling angels to help us out. That's worth the price of admission right there. Psalm 34. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he rescues them. Now, sometimes it's angels, sometimes it's angel. Why is it that way? I don't know. But it doesn't seem to make any difference. They seem to do the same thing. Now, sometimes it's the angel of the Lord, and that means it's either Gabriel or Michael, who are the two archangels. But there's not a proof or reference to that all the time. It's an angel of the Lord, good enough for me. If it's the Lord's angel, he can do anything for me he wants to do. But they protect us. And sometimes we don't even know that we need protection. Psalm 91 says, he will give angels charge concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Well, you know what? Sometimes our ways aren't the right way. We get off the path a little bit. Or we feel daring and we'll go take care of that. Oh man, if the Lord's not telling you to go take care of that, don't go take care of that. Because you don't know and angels say, no, we're going to help you stay on the path here. We're going to guard you. And I like that because I may not always recognize that stone that I'm about to strike my foot against. Right? But not only do they guard, they guide. In Genesis chapter 24, the Lord, the God of heaven, who took me from my father's house and from the land of my birth, and who spoke to me and who swore to me, saying, to your descendants I will give this land. He will send his angel before you, and you will take a wife from my son from there. He's going to take, guide, get to the right country so that the servant, but with the help of an angel, can pick out the wife. Wouldn't you like a little more input? Great personality, good cook, hope she's cute, you know. Right? and she was. But very sobering experience, but the angel of the Lord will get you to the point where you will have enough confidence to say, that will be my master's son's wife. That's strong. Not only that, she had to believe it. So there had to be some angelic involvement so that she was willing. Make sense? So he guides. But he also gives direction. This is really good. Acts 8:26. But the angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, and hadn't remembered that, but this is what I was preaching the day those little girls prayed for me to see angels. This Acts 8. Get up and go to the south road that descends from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. Now, you know, I don't even need angels to tell me to stay off of desert roads. You know? I mean, but he says, no, this is a desert road. Can't be God. It's hot. It's dry. There's not a Chick-fil-A for miles. You know, no Quick Trip. But he says, no, I'm going to send. The angel's coming. And he's the GPS, because he takes him to exactly the right spot where the Ethiopian eunuch is. So now the gospel can go to Africa. That's pretty good GPS. And you go, okay, it's not like I'm in the right community or the right county. Man, I'm on the right road, and I'm going to go right smack dab into what God has for me. And that was directed by the angels. Well, why didn't the Holy Spirit do it? Because the Lord sent an angel to do it. The Holy Spirit had been doing a whole bunch of stuff, you know, with Philip and in the book of Acts. Wow, people were, you know, magicians were tossing their books down, and people were getting filled with the Spirit, and, you know, and later Philip flies air angel, you know, to Azotus or wherever that was. And, you know, it was specific to a place and a time. Have you ever had the Lord do that to you? I want you to go right there, right now. I have friends that get addresses. I always say, I have to work for my stuff. It's not fair. But very seldom, but I have had times where I just made a right turn, and I didn't even know why I made a right turn. And then I saw somebody parked on the street that I knew. I just pulled over. I said, everything okay? No, my battery's dead, or, you know, or whatever. Whatever it was. You know, but I needed to be right there at that place at that time. And this would lead me to believe that angels can be involved in those kind of things. The biggest part, okay, and this is what we're going to do. I'm trying to figure out when I'm going to quit. And so people are going, yes, but you can't divorce angelic involvement and prayer. It's wonderful. I probably quote these verses from Daniel when it comes to praying as much as anything I do. Daniel chapter 9, verse 20. Now, this is Daniel. Now, while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel and presenting my supplication before the Lord my God in behalf of the holy mountain of my God, while I was still speaking in prayer, then the man Gabriel, that's the archangel Gabriel, whom I had seen in the previous vision, came to me in my extreme weariness about the time of the evening offering. He's praying, and he's praying himself out of energy. He says, I'm totally shot. I've been praying and praying. You know, I'm praying. I'm praying about my sin. That could take you a long time. I mean, just depending on who you are. And then the sin of my forefathers. And then making sure that I'm making the offering and worshiping the Lord and making sure that he feels that I'm presenting to him my allness, my wholeness, my, you know. And he said, I'm just shot. I'm just totally wasted. And Gabriel shows up. Gabriel's an angel. In my extreme weariness about the time of the evening offering, he gave me instruction and talked with me and said, oh, Daniel, I have now come forth to give you insight with understanding. I can't tell you how many thousands of times I prayed that prayer over people. Lord, release angelic intervention and cause them to bring insight with understanding. You're praying the word of God. That's one of the reasons angels show up, is to bring insight with understanding. He doesn't just say understanding. He doesn't just say insight. Says insight with understanding. Man, I have beat that like an anvil with a hammer. I need the insight and the understanding. Send angelic messenger. And I don't have to talk to him. You realize Daniel's in a conversation with Gabriel now? He's met him once before, so they're cool. I mean, because they're chatting. I'm not going to say what I was going to say. He said, Daniel, I've come forth to give you insight with understanding at the beginning of your supplications, your prayer. The command was issued. As soon as Daniel started praying, the Lord released the issuance of the insight and the understanding. And I've come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed, so give heed to the message and gain understanding of the vision. Now, I'll give you that Daniel is talking to Gabriel, and Gabriel and Michael are the two mentioned archangels, so they might have a different pay grade than some of the angels. I mean, insight and that kind of stuff. I don't know that, but man. So, Daniel 10, verse 5. This is just, Daniel gets a vision, and he sees this incredible vision, and the guys who are with him don't see it. They hear it, but they don't see him. And then in verse 12, he says, and then he said to me, do not be afraid, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand this, and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to your words, but the prince of the kingdom of Persia was withstanding me for 21 days. And then behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I have been left there with the kings of Persia. So here's Gabriel, and he's taken on the kings of Persia, this principalities and powers. It's not, you know, the real king. He's talking about the territorial powers in the heavenlies. He said, I've been fighting those guys, and now Michael's showing up because I needed help. So now I've come to give you an understanding of what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision pertains to the days yet future. And when he'd spoken to me according to these words, I turned my face to the ground and became speechless. And behold, one who resembled a human being was touching my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spoke and said to him who was standing before me, O my Lord, as a result of the vision, anguish has come upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can such a servant of my Lord talk with such as my Lord? As for me, there remains just now no strength in me, nor has any breath been left in me. And then this one with human appearance, angel, touched me and strengthened me, and he said, O man of high esteem, don't be afraid. Peace be with you. Take courage and be courageous. That's the reason God gives courage, is to make you courageous. Now, as soon as he spoke, I received strength and said, may my Lord speak, for you have strengthened me. And then he said, do you understand why I came to you? But now I will return to fight against the prince of Persia. So I am going forth, and behold, the prince of Greece is about to come. However, I will tell you what is inscribed in the writing of the truth. Yet there is no one who stands firmly with me against these forces except Michael, your prince. So this is spiritual warfare, okay? He's engaged in this, and Daniel has prayed himself right into it. And it counts so much what Daniel is praying that the Lord pulls Gabriel and Michael out, saying, you talk to my boy here, then you go back and join the fight. Isn't that something? Now, this is Old Testament, okay? Daniel wasn't born again. Daniel wasn't filled with the Spirit. Neither were the other Jewish people that were with him. So it's a little different issue. So these are warring angels, right? And what do they do? War. And they're territorial. There's Persia, there's Greece. This is the second heavens. These are the ruling despots of darkness, however you would like to say it. And Daniel is praying right into them. And not only that, the Lord's releasing information that says, and here's how you're going to win. This is coming. This is later. Get you guys out of, you know, being incarcerated and all that kind of stuff. But here's what's going to happen. And it came to Daniel through the ministry of angels. Now that's, well, have I ever talked to Gabriel or Michael? Not that I know of. Neither have I asked to. You know, I mean, go to the top, man. Pray to Jesus. You don't have to go through these guys. And then if he dispatches them, tremendous. But do you see this? This is a pretty significant situation. And why isn't the Holy Spirit doing it? I'm telling you, the Lord does what he wants to do. And in his mind, the perfect thing, the thing that Daniel could understand and cooperate with, was angels. Is that good? Okay. I'm going to go to the one verse I was going to use, and then we're going to stop. Because this is the most practical expression of intervention and partnership with angels that I know anything about. And I have probably engaged myself at this place in prayer more than any place as it pertains to angelic intervention. Psalm 103, verse 19. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his sovereignty rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels. Now it starts talking about what angels do. Bless the Lord, you his angels, mighty in strength, who perform his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, who serve him, doing his will. That's what it says, angels do. Amplified says it this way. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless, affectionately, gratefully praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his commandments, hearkening to the voice of his word. Gratefully praising the Lord, all you his hosts, his ministers who do his pleasure. He's talking about angels. So angels are mighty in strength. They perform his word. They don't just memorize it, they perform it. I'm pretty sure they got it memorized too. So Charles, you're getting help. They obey the voice of the word of God. So when you give voice to the word of God, you're giving angels something to act on, something to do, a way of pleasing the Lord. In prayer, we can call on the mighty strength of angels and give them the word of God to perform, to act on. We can give voice to God's word, to give angels his word to obey. Angels serve him and us, and by doing his will according to his word. So if I was going to pray for Dana, we just didn't know what to do and didn't know what was up, and she was in distress and needed rescue or whatever terminology. And Lord, I call on those who you say are ministers to us who inherit salvation. And Lord, you say you rescue people because you delight in them. I give voice to the word of God, and I release angelic intervention from heaven to come and watch over this word and perform it in her life, that she would experience your delight and your rescue at the hands of angels. Now, this really is worth the price of admission, because you can take this with any portion of the word of God, and what you're doing is engaging angels. Well, how do you know? Because it says that's what they do. They're mighty in strength to perform his word, to obey the voice of his word. So don't mumble it. Get it out there. Lord, I'm asking you, according to the word of God, in Psalm 103, to release those that you say are mighty in strength, who have the capacity to hear your word, obey your word, and complete your will in the life of whoever you're praying for. I'm telling you, this is a sword in your hand, because what you're really doing is it's like I said the other day, we want to get the angels off the unemployment line. Because what are they doing? Waiting for somebody to give voice to the word of God, waiting to do what they were created to do, waiting to hear from heaven, because I'm speaking the word of heaven, the word of God, out there where they can get it. And when I use his word, it's like him using his word, because it gives them, it releases them, and it compels them to do what they know they are created to do. Come on. Now, that's a prayer meeting right there. I mean, there's something going on. Can you see this? And it's not like, well, we'll just Only got 5 minutes. We'll just turn it over to the angels. No, no, no. It says they're mighty in strength. Do you always feel mighty in strength when you pray? It might be like Daniel. He prayed himself into a nap. I mean, he had gone for it so hard, he was just so wasted. The Lord sent an angel to intervene. All we're doing now is taking those who are enlisted to do service for us, to minister to the heirs of salvation, whether that's us or the people we're praying for. We're saying, okay, you know, da 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 da. Guys, go on notice. Code red, here we are. We got to get this done. There is a person who the Spirit of God lives in that's having a horrible time, that needs the protection, that needs the guidance, that needs the extraction, the rescue. And I give you the Word of God, and you can find a boatload of passages to pray. And I speak to you the Word of God, and the Word of God says to you, go get them. Act on this word. Obey this word. And you're not telling them what to do. You're releasing them to do what God told them to do. Am I making sense? Now, what do you mean? What do you mean that you're not acting like their boss? No, I'm partnering with their boss. I'm in a connection with the Lord Jesus, who said this is what these guys are here for, and we're supposed to engage them to do what brings completion for them. They love pleasing the Father. They love it. They love doing His will. And the Lord tells them stuff to do, but He's got a bazillion of us down here to engage them. If I go a little farther, I won't, but it says in Hebrews 10, you know, you have come to this mountain and myriads of angels. Myriads. That's like 5 million times what you can stick people in Arrowhead. I mean, just millions, myriads of angels. What are they doing? Standing on the corner watching. No. They're looking for an opportunity to bring honor and glory to the Son of God. That's how heaven works. I'm thinking about preaching on heaven here pretty quick. And you know what? I can give you heaven in one word. Jesus. That's heaven. He fills the environment, the atmosphere. He's the light, you know. And so what do they want to do? They don't understand our salvation, but they do understand His suffering. Walking back into heaven with holes here and holes here. And the Father says, my son, what is that? And He says, these are the wounds that I've received in the house of my friends. Oh, man. They get that the Lord said, when my son does what he volunteered to do, I'm going to exalt his name above everything, heaven and earth, everything. And so guess what? On that day, all the angels got an email saying, dude, that's what you're going to do. Everything you do will be to conform to my choice, my desire to bring honor to the Son of God. Now, don't you want to do that? Don't you want to get in on that? I think we should. Why don't we all stand if we could, please? So I'm going to pray this over us. And I get wound up a little bit, but see, this is an opportunity to embark on a prayer adventure with the Lord, where you're literally releasing the will of God in heaven through the angels who are created to be the messengers, the ministers, the winds, and the flames of fire. All fire isn't bad. You know, and wind and fire together may mess with the fire department, but man, when you've got the Word of God being breathed on by the fire of God, anyway, you can see. So Holy Spirit, thank you for being with us this morning and plowing through all these verses. But we want to know why there's so many references to the ministry of angels. And we want to be part of that. We don't want to eliminate anything in your word that is truly supposed to be ours. A few weeks ago, Lord, we looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 2 where it says, the Holy Spirit's been sent to us so we might freely know, completely know, all of the things given to us freely by God. This is one of those things that we don't talk about very much. And so, Lord, we want to freely know and receive being able to bring blessing and honor to the Father, to the Son, to the Holy Spirit, and being able to intervene through angelic ministry to people who are in trouble and difficulty, wandering, not knowing where the path is, not knowing how to get back to where the path is. And Lord, you send angels to do that kind of stuff. So Lord, I'm praying for every person in this room that is concerned about a family member right now. You can mention their name under your breath if you want to. But Lord, we bring these family members to you. And Lord, we release angelic intervention, saying, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, that the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the tearing down of strongholds, to bringing captive every thought that causes people to go wayward. And Holy Spirit, we release that word from 2 Corinthians 10, and we give that to angelic hosts who are waiting for a challenge, waiting for an opportunity to come and be flames, ministers, winds of God, and to help people. And Lord, I pray that you would put those weapons that are mighty through God in their hands and tear down strongholds, release people from secular sin, break all sorts of addictions and compulsions. And Holy Spirit, by proving your reality in their life, cause them to get back on the path, back in connection with you. And we release these angels to complete the course and obey the voice of the word that we just gave. And let them, by bringing relief and bringing release to people, bring honor and glory to the name of the Son of God. Now look at me for a minute. I'm not going to go anymore, but we could do this over situation, over situation, over situation. Okay? So I did it with people because people are more important than things. But this is a great way to pray. You know, let's say it's Joe, and Lord, we just bring Joe before you, and we release angelic intervention in Joe's life, and we give you the word of God. And then, you know, I use 2 Corinthians 10. It could be anything. And we release that these angels to come and be mighty in strength and to fulfill the will of God and the word of God and bring the victory of God into the life of the child of God. Are you with me? These are things you can just, is this the only way to pray now? Is this the new way to pray? No, it's been in there for like thousands of years. But it's like new ammo for your gun. And you say, well, I don't know what to pray. Great, I'm going to pray. I'm not praying to angels. Listen to me. We're not praying to angels. We're praying to the Lord and saying, Lord, we release the voice of your word to those who are waiting to perform it. We're not praying to angels. Got it? I mean, I just don't have time. I'm not doing the right. I'll have to come back. But don't say, well, Pastor John said pray to angels. No, don't do that. That's idolatry. Don't do that. But employ angels by enjoining yourself to the will of God. Huh? And it's true for salvation. It's true for healing. It's true for deliverance. I've been waiting like 2 weeks to say this. But I genuinely believe everything we read up to Psalm 103, Psalm 103 now is our part. It's our part. It's our part in joining ourselves in partnership so that the Lord's will gets done. Now, does that alleviate us in responsibility to pray? Absolutely not. But man, it empowers us to pray in some ways where you feel like we might be getting something done, right? So Lord, thank you. I ask for you to Quicken our understanding. I just see a picture of a closet. And, you know, how many times have we read or prayed, put on the new man, put off the old, put on the new. I just feel like maybe what we've done today is just add like a prayer cloak to your closet. And this is something else you can adorn yourself with to go to the throne of God with and see something happen. Don't you get tired of praying sometimes and not seeing it happen? Man, let's get some guys that are paid to do this. I mean, you know what I'm saying? This is their engagement. This is the will of God for their life. This is what they're supposed to be doing. They are supposed to be ministering to us. Who knows better than us how to inform them what to do? So, Lord, thank you for being with us today. And we ask for, I'll just say it the way you told me. I feel like the Lord told me that I needed to be aware of, expectant of, and desirous of angelic intervention. And so, Lord, we just put that before you. And we're not trying to be spooky. We're not trying to be weird. We're trying to be Christians. And we want to walk in the victory that we talked about this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. We'll quit. Yeah, great.